Verge.
Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Hello, my name is Chase Bill Sharp. I'm a college student in Oklahoma and I'm from Oklahoma. I am on Instagram and Twitter as ThunderGuad15. ThunderGuad15, and on Snapchat as ThunderGuard15, ThunderGuard15. I was a troubled kid growing up, getting kicked off schools and daycares and having the police call me for fighting with teachers. My mom and dad weren't married, and so my dad was off doing his own thing and wasn't always around while I was younger. I caused so much trouble that my mom couldn't handle me and called my dad and told him to come pick me up, where she is going to send me to juvie, which is jail for kids. He came and picked me up and took me to my grandparents. After living with them for almost a year, I ended up moving in with my dad and soon-to-be stepmom. I played sports growing up. I played soccer, baseball, and then found one of my biggest passions with basketball. I was playing basketball in the fifth grade and ended up meeting my best friend. He didn't want anything to do with me at the time, but his mom forced him to hang out with me and invited me to church. So after going to youth group for a few months, I ended up accepting Christ. I didn't fully understand what that meant going throughout middle school and most of high school, but I started understanding more my senior year and ended up being baptized. A few months later, my grandma ended up getting diagnosed with cancer and ended up passing away about a month later. I was close to my grandma, and so it was super difficult to me. I didn't talk a lot about God with my grandma, but she made me promise that I wouldn't get mad and turn away from God for her getting the cancer and passing away. This definitely opened my eyes a little bit. I promised her that and used a Bible verse to help me get through these difficult times. The verse is Jeremiah 33:3, which says, "Call to me and I'll answer, for I can show you grand and unsearchable things you do not yet know." This verse helped me a lot through this time. A few months later, I started struggling with depression and tried finding satisfaction in a girl when I shouldn't have. My friends didn't like her and didn't want to hang out with me unless I stopped hanging out with her. Of course, I was stupid and chose the girl, which led to me falling deeper into depression. It got to the point where there was one night that I was holding a knife to my throat, and a phone call from the girl saved my life. It was a super difficult time for me, and I was also questioning my faith a little bit at the time. I ended up graduating high school and started going to a college church group that my friend invited me to. It opened my eyes to my stupidity of focusing on the grill. And after a few months, I handed my phone over to my friend after a church service and asked her to block the girl I liked from all social media, including her phone number. I knew God was telling me to do that for a while, and I started to see myself grow in my faith after that. Despite getting rid of her out of my life and depression being hit and miss, I still have one temptation I constantly struggle with: lust. I was struggling with lust and looking at porn. I eventually went and talked to my friend who led the college group, and he told me to memorize Job 31:1, "For I have a covenant with my eyes to not look a young lady lustfully." I memorized this verse, and it helped me break that bad habit. About a year later, I'd say, one of my closest friends from church had a tragic accident. He was one of the most selfless people I know, always caring about others, being before himself. He told me to pick up the phone and call him whenever I have the struggle with lust. While I was battling that, and to not worry about the time that I'm calling, he told me that if he didn't answer, that he had texted me the following morning to make sure I didn't fall for the temptation. That was the kind of person he was, just putting everybody before himself and always trying to serve the Lord and help others. Anyway, he ended up making the mistake of smoking weed. I'm not sure if the weed was laced or not, but it led to him shooting and killing himself. This was one of the hardest things I've ever been through. The only thing that helped me through this difficult time is Romans 8:28, which says, "For I know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." I wrote this verse on my wrist and kept it there for weeks. I had learned the importance of memorizing scripture, and it was a cornerstone for me in these difficult times. Fast forwarding a little, I ended up getting the opportunity to help my dad come to know Christ. I fasted from soda, which I was drinking anywhere from probably 4 to 6 cups a day, I'd say, for about 15 months until he came to have a relationship with God. I haven't went back to soda several months later after this either, but this was definitely one of the greatest things in my life. I just finished working at Falls Creek, which is the biggest Christian church camp in the world, and it was an amazing experience. Now I'm starting at my new college and am a manager on the basketball team. I want to leave y'all with this: start where you are, and God will take you where you need to be. I love you guys, and thank you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories podcast, where we bring meaningful stories and powerful scriptures. Today, I got my brother from another mother, actually my best friend. Come on, Marcus Stanley. The Lord has blessed me with our friendship, our relationship, and I'm so thankful for you, Marcus, and I'm indebted to you, I feel, in so many ways. So I'm looking forward to it.
Extremely honored to be on this podcast that is changing lives around the whole globe.
Wow. Thank you, Marcus. Come on now. Scriptures and Stories family, y'all in for a treat. So, Marcus, where you are now, impacting millions, I mean, traveled and toured, you've done all these different things. Can you share with us a little bit about sort of the Marcus before all of that happened and walk us through your story?
Well, the Marcus before all this happened was not a good Marcus, and not to say that I'm good today, but I was lost. I was touring and playing keyboards for different artists, and While I was in that world, I was not serving the Lord. I did not have a personal relationship with Christ.
Wow.
And it wasn't until 2004 when God caused a reality to happen to me that brought me to my knees. And in 2004, I was traveling, touring with an artist at the time. And I got approached by these guys that were doing a gang initiation. Wow. And they picked me randomly for initiating one of their members. And the guy walked right up to me and pulled out a .45 caliber gun and shot me 8 times at point-blank range. I was shot 7 times in the chest, and he stood over top of me and shot me. And
7 times in the chest? Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, it all happened so quick. And I remember just rolling over on the street, and I remember trying to stop cars, for help and screaming for help, and no one would stop to help me. And I remember I had my cell phone on me, and I called 911. I could see the sign, and I could see where I was, and I told them where I was. And next thing you know, the ambulance came and got me. It was kind of like you think it is in the movies. You know, you're looking up, you're seeing the lights, you're seeing it. You're just not thinking this is totally real.
Wow.
And in that process, I just said, God, can you save me? And I remember getting to the hospital. I remember looking around. I was still conscious. And I remember the doctor came up to me. He said, hey, can you sign your anesthesia form? He was actually joking with me. And he said, for someone that, you know, just got shot, you still have a good signature.
Wow.
And,
nice.
Last thing I remember
that, huh?
Yeah. And he said, count to 10 back, you know, count down from 10 backwards. And next thing you know, that's when the supernatural surgery happened that took place. And I say supernatural, not saying that word lightly, but it was there was a 10-hour surgery that the surgeon performed.
Wow.
And
Marcus, real quick, I don't want you to just jump past this. Mm-hmm. Like, the moment you had just been gunned down, what was going, sort of, what did you feel in that moment? What was going through your mind? What were some of the thoughts that were racing through your mind?
In that mind, I started thinking, like, why is this happening to me? I started thinking, you know, no one's going to know what happened to me.
Yeah.
I started thinking, oh, man, I wish I could have, you know, told my family I love them, or I wish I could have did, you know, some things different than what I did, you know, some choices I made. All those flashes came before my eyes at that moment of just, you know, I can't believe this is actually happening. Because when I got shot, I didn't know I was getting shot. It happened so quick. And just to explain the speed of how quick it happened, there was no one standing there holding the gun for a long time.
Yeah.
The gun was hidden in the guy's jacket. So as soon as he pulled it out, I just saw the flash. And it was immediately at that point where an angel was right in front of me. And I believed that angel was
protecting
me at that time, because I didn't even have that much time to think about an angel. It happened so quick. What I'm saying is that it couldn't have been a figment of my imagination because of how fast it happened.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I said, I can't believe I'm going to die on the street. So I didn't have hope that I was going to live. I thought it was over at that moment. I thought they were going to rob me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were going to kill me. You know, that's the difference. You know, I thought, okay, I'm about to get robbed for the first time in my life. But it ended up being they were trying to actually kill me.
Wow. So. And you know how God proves his faithfulness. Even it goes through one of your favorite songs, you know, that I heard you listening to yesterday. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Yep.
You know, God is always surrounding us. Yeah. He's always protecting us, even in the midst of those times.
Yeah. Because I was surrounded by the enemy at that time. They surrounded
the darkness.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, those guys surrounded me, so I couldn't go anywhere.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, so I was surrounded by the enemy, surrounded by darkness at that moment.
How many guys were there that night?
It was about 5 or 6 that approached me.
And it was a gang initiation from your perspective, from what you thought, or you later?
I later found that out.
Got it.
And like I said, the 10-hour surgery, I woke up and the lady was like, "You made it." Yeah. The nurse beside me checking my stats. Praise and she said, God. "You made it." And it was 3 days later that I woke up. Wow. And, matter of fact, no one knew where I was.
About your parents, your family?
Family had no idea where I was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I was really independent. So people thought that, oh, you know, he must be doing something right now. Wow. He must be busy. No one thought that something happened to me. So it wasn't until like day four that people started
Catching wind.
Yeah, and calling around hospitals. And then finally someone tracked me down. And
wow.
And but yeah, it was 3 days that I was there by myself. Like
you had to be incredibly lonely. Although you were you in a coma?
I was in a coma at the time. Yes.
And when you woke up, no one was at your side.
No one was there. Yep. Just a nurse that I didn't know.
Wow.
That just says you know, she encouraged me and said you made it.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I was like, wow, I'm alive. I can't believe it. Saw the little machines and I saw everything. And I joke sometimes and say I was hooked up to everything but HBO. it was surreal.
Wow.
Yeah. And after that, what happened next in my life, you know, I couldn't have been prepared for that. Because as you know, when people have major trauma happen to their bodies, they go through all sorts of things with medications. And I was in the hospital for almost a year. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to dress myself. I had a colostomy bag. Had a catheter. I had six major organs that were damaged in the surgery. So it was a long walk on rehabilitation.
Mm.
It was the type of progress where they would say, okay, today we're just going to practice standing up. You know, not moving, just standing up. And then the next day we're going to practice taking one step
or
something like that. So it was very challenging in that process of the hospital. And when I came out, next thing you know, I was a full-blown addict. I was addicted to opiates, which are painkillers, Percocet, morphine. I took it every day when I was in the hospital. And I didn't know that I was becoming addicted in that process. I had a button next to my bed that I used to press for pain. And I had actual pain. I had real pain.
Mm.
And that, unfortunately, was the beginning of another challenge in my life. So it's like I survived the shooting, but then boom, just walked straight into full-blown addiction.
Mm.
And that cycle continued for years. I went back on the road and was touring, but I was still addicted.
Yeah.
And I was using pain medicines, abusing them all the time, around the clock, because I didn't want to feel sick. I felt sick withdrawing from not taking the medicine.
Yeah.
And it just got progressively worse.
Wow.
And I tried to get clean many times. I went to many, many different programs and treatment centers.
Yeah.
And every treatment center you can imagine, NA meetings, thousands of NA, AA, it was Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous.
You probably Googled it at one point.
I went to everything. I tried everything possible. If you could think of it, I tried it. Suboxone, methadone, I tried all types of everything to try to get free. But the one thing I didn't try was Jesus.
Come on.
That's when everything changed in my life. It's 6 years of addiction. In 2010, I fell down to my knees and I said, God, I need you. I said, Jesus, help me.
Wow.
And I went into a one-year residential treatment program. And I stayed there.
Yeah.
It was nothing but Bible, and walking in the things of the Lord every day. No cell phones, no distractions. Very, very similar to Teen Challenge, as some people have heard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stayed at that program for an additional 4 years, helping other people get free because the Lord called me to do that.
Come on now.
And fast forward.
You were set free to set others free.
Yes,
come on
now. Because who the Son says free is free indeed.
Amen.
And freedom in Christ, that is the answer.
Yeah.
You know, that's the answer. That's what can break bondage, and that's where you can experience breakthrough in a second. It's from God. What God can do in one split second is greater than anything that you could try.
Yeah.
Any system, any systematic development or anything that you could, you know, try to formulate to overcome something. Who the Son says free is free indeed. So I say I came to know Christ for the first time in 2010 when I stepped and had that encounter with Christ and I fell to my knees and I said, God, make me a new creation. And, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. I became a new creation at that point. And that program was everybody thought I was crazy for staying still, but the Lord told me to stay still. He said, be still and know that I'm God. That's the word that I heard when it was time for me to graduate that program. And God said, be still.
Come on.
Let those roots go deep like the palm trees in Florida. When the hurricanes come, they just go from the left. They go to the right. But they don't come out of the ground. Yeah. They're locked down because those roots go deeper than any other tree. And,
That's a good word.
Yeah, that's what I did. I stayed planted, and I was there for 5 years of that program. Fast forward to 2015 is when I met my wife, and we got married. And today, I've been set free for almost 10 years from addiction, from addiction to heroin, from addiction to Percocet, from addiction to all sorts of painkillers. God set me free. Yes.
Praise God.
So there is hope in Christ.
Yes.
Bottom line.
I know there's someone out there who may be struggling to sort of help their family member or loved one navigate through this season, maybe of addiction. Maybe even they've struggled with addiction or going through it. So Marcus, along that line, before you met Christ, was there anybody to come alongside support you in specific ways that helped you?
Yes.
In a moment, can you share with them right now if there's anything they can do to practically help their loved one?
Yeah, there was I always say that God puts angels on this earth also. And my best friend, she passed away in 2013, but she, while she was alive, she's the only reason that I made it. And she stuck by me and supported me. I want to say it's not like enabling, because that's a whole different thing. I'm not saying enabling you to do your mess, but she supported me to get help every time. And sometimes she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do, but she would pray for me, and she found resources for me to go to. You know, I don't think the fine line, and there is some work that needs to be done. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So we can't sit back and say that, you know, God changed me and then we're not doing anything to go forward.
There is work
that is necessary to be done. And a lot of times we'll have things out here that prevent us from getting help. Oh, I got a job, or I'm making money and all that. But all that doesn't matter if you're dead.
Yeah, so true.
So the bottom line is to reach out with support to those that are hurting. And not enable their behavior, but saying that I will support you any way I can to help you get help.
So good.
You know, it's tough love, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The tough love that the Lord disciplines those that he loves.
True. And so good.
Yeah, so there's a love aspect that Christ love that has to be shown to. It's very difficult to show that love to someone that's hurting you.
Yeah.
That's burning bridges. But I want to encourage that person out there that is dealing with someone that is stuck in the bondage of addiction to just keep loving on them. It's not saying that you're going to be a doormat and let people walk all over you, but keep loving them with the love of Christ that embrace them and pull them. It's chipping away, just chipping away at that bondage so that they can have that moment that they're like, I need God to help me. I can't do this on my own.
True.
So, yeah.
I love that how you share. One, we're not only saved from something, we're saved for something.
Yes.
So being missional about loving the people that God's entrusted to us, no matter how deep in the mess they are, even if they stress us. Do you think, coupled with that, did you have someone praying for you?
Yes, and that's what it was. It was Marguerite was my best friend. She was praying for me every step of the way.
Wow.
Anytime I was in a treatment program or in any type of thing, I was getting mail from her. And, you know, hang in there and stay strong. And I believe you can do this. A scripture in my spirit, from the moment she wrote it in a card, and it said Mark 9:23. It said, well, all things are possible to him who believes.
Come on now. Woo.
And I never forgot it.
Y'all hear that?
I never forgot it.
No matter what you face.
And I've stood on that scripture every day. I remember, I know that all things are possible, because addiction is a very heavy thing that's happening. Not only did I survive the shooting, but I survived the addiction. And the devil tried to do everything he could to take me out. And I'm not the only one. There's people out there that might not have got shot like me, but you might have got shot with depression. You might have got shot with anxiety.
You might have got shot. That's a word.
With any, so many different things that could try to take you out. So
come on.
The fact that we are living and breathing now is a miracle.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That God chose to breathe life into our bodies every morning to wake us up is a miracle when thousands of people didn't make it.
So true.
Yeah.
I love how you shared that, Marcus. And I know for you guys listening, I know his story has blessed you. Just, and we're not even done with it, but I just know as a friend of Marcus, actually, I consider him my best friend. You know, we talk all the time. We've encouraged each other in ways that I couldn't even, you know, look myself in the face and encourage me. But Marcus had the words to say that day that blessed me. So you're a testament of God's faithfulness to me, you know. So, and I'm thankful for you, Marcus. I do want you to touch on this slightly. What sort of made that transition? Can you share a little bit about when you went to that? Was it a resort?
Yeah, it was a residential program.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on a farm.
What propelled you into your purpose, brother? Like, you know, what kept you there? You stayed there for like 4 years, and then let's talk transition into that. And
yeah, what propelled me into my purpose was that while I was there, God started using me to help other people that were bound by the chains of addiction that couldn't break free. And it was real issues going on. It was people that suffered with, you know, it had been abused, molested, and all types of things were reasons of why they were trapped in bondage. And I started finding my purpose in ministering to those people that came through those doors.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 24/7 ministry going on all day long, no clocking in, no clocking out. And because I kept seeing the power of God fall on people, and I kept seeing the chains be broken right in front of my eyes, that's what helped me tap into purpose. And that's what made me say, I want to continue to help people be free. I want to encourage people. And this is on the front line. Yes, no, not a lot of people see what's going on every day, but God is so faithful. And this is the reason why I can wake up in the morning. I mean, I woke up every morning at 4 a.m., to get this house ready for these guys
to be in
position for them to be fed by the word of God. So from the moment they're opening their eyes, they're reading their Bible, they're having chapel services.
It's good.
You know, so if anybody does need help, it is a program called New Life for Youth.
Yeah.
And that program changed my life. And there's many programs out there that can help people in the same way, like Teen Challenge and different things where, you know, insurance, you don't have to have insurance. You can still get help, because that's a lot of problems, too, with people getting help, is that they can't afford it a lot of times.
True.
You know what I mean?
Very true.
So I just want to put that out there also, is that there's programs out there that don't require anything. It just requires somebody making a choice to get help. It's like, I want to change. That's what they want.
Yeah, true.
Because you can't force anyone to change.
Very
true. Yeah.
And I love how you shared that. I know we'll transition here in a minute, but I want to just touch on this real quick, because you actually had to humble yourself enough. Like, what was it that sort of ignited you and excited you to sort of not serve in the glorious position where everyone sees, you know, like you're not serving from a point where you're actually getting acknowledged to the degree where you like, that's the guy that's doing this, that's the guy that's doing that. Someone may be listening now. I say that to say this. Someone may be listening now. Maybe a mom who's at home who husband maybe is a pastor, or you know, our boy, you know whoever it is, but she's at home and she doesn't necessarily, she's doing cleaning the house and taking care of the kids. She's not very much seen for what she does. And then it may be a guy who's been faithfully serving as a volunteer at his church, but he wants to get full-time ministry, but he's cleaning windows, cleaning toilets, but he doesn't see necessarily the things coming in fruition the way he wants them to come into fruition. I would love for you to share a little bit about, how do you not despise the humble beginnings, and how do you stay faithful with the little? How do you stay faithful in the little?
It's very simple. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for human masters.
So good.
And that's the scripture that I've stood on, and that's the one that brought me purpose every day, to realize that no matter what you're doing, you are on a field of ministry.
Yes.
Wherever you're at, you could be working at 7-Eleven. You could be working at the pharmacy at CVS.
Wow.
You can shine the light. And that's the reason why the scripture says that you can shine the light
before
men, period. And that light, Jesus came into this world as a light so that no man would have to live in darkness again.
Come on now.
So that it's difficult sometimes when you feel like you're not you know, you feel in your flesh that you're not doing something that's important or that matters, but you breathing and you shining the light of Christ where you're at.
Come on.
Is purpose.
So good.
That's purpose.
That's
that is purpose. And you can wake up and carry the light of Christ wherever you don't have to be on a stage. You don't have to be preaching on a stage behind a podium to people.
Wow.
Your ministry is right where you're at. Your ministry is in your household.
That's good.
So good. To that mom's ministry is right there in that household. That mom's ministry is right when she goes to run errands. Wow. That mom, that dad, it could be a dad. His dad doing the same thing, or a single dad.
Yeah.
His ministry is right where he's at, right at work, right behind that desk.
So good.
How he responds to certain things.
True.
You know, when he's upset, how does he deal with certain
Paul's
things?
Paul's Ponder Pray.
Yeah. And the Paul's Ponder Pray, a good series by Robert Morris.
Wow.
And that is the key, is that wherever you're at, God He can use you, and he can drop purpose into you to flourish and shine his glory and be a witness and a testament.
Yeah.
Because that is the biggest thing that ministers to people, not by just what you say, but how you live.
How you live.
Yeah, anybody can say anything, but from what I've seen in my life is
conduct.
Is the actions.
Wow.
Yeah, the actions are what minister to people.
Mm.
And people, if somebody is watching you, Show the love of Christ every day. That's just chipping away at their heart.
Wow.
They might have a hardened heart or something that pulls them away from God.
So
it doesn't make them want to commit or anything. Commit to the Lord and just be an example and be in the hands and feet of Jesus is what walks you into purpose. You do not have to be standing behind a stage or have a title to do the Lord's work.
So good. And I know there's tons of millennials on here, and I want to get into your missionary work real quick too before we get into the digital. But there's tons of people on here, you know, they may think they need to go overseas, but God's saying, well, we can use you.
Yeah.
I can use you to reach people across the
street.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know, and that's something we got to believe. And I think you just touched on that so good, so firmly. Talk about missionary. You've been all over the world, bro.
Yes.
And there's people out here that may desire and long to do some of the things that you've done. Can you just share with us one or a couple experiences that you had, or something you learned from or took from those trips out there, and how it changed the outlook and gave you the passion to come back and share
the gospel here? I've just seen that we really don't know how good we have it sometimes.
Mm.
And this is not a per country basis. This is anywhere. You know, we don't know how sometimes we can't see the blessings of what God is doing in our life every day. And doing mission work from cities to different states to different countries has taught me that there is a lot going on in the world, and that through the darkness, God can still shine. God's light can still shine evident.
It's
and
good.
It's serving others in those countries that I've been to has been one of the most rewarding experiences that I can even fathom. Going right on, you know, right into the areas where things that are available, in the United States or available in certain countries aren't available in those countries.
Yeah.
Certain things, you know, simple things like antibiotics and
things,
you know, things that we just no big deal.
Typically, but
But to others, it is a precious gem.
Exactly.
So what it taught me is about serving, because that is the biggest call. David was a servant. You know, he served. And Joseph was a servant. He served. And a lot of times
they both became basically king or one under king.
Yes. And everyone thinks that, you know, you got to be at the top. But the greatest, you know, the greatest is the servant.
Among you. Come on now.
Woo. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing that I pulled from all those mission trips was serving and helping others. And that became part of my life, period.
It's
not
like
just
your
on
DNA,
the mission field.
Yeah.
But always thinking, how can I serve you?
Mm.
How can I help you?
No matter where you are,
not what's in it for me, but how can I serve and be a blessing to you?
And I've already been in a a recipient of your generosity, even in the social media space. I felt God compelled me to get on there and get active on there. And He sent you to be like, hey, here's a platform of 1 million people and several other, you know, large platforms that you're running at that time. And you encouraged me into it. And you said, hey, bro, this is as much as this is mine, this is yours. But most importantly, it's, you know, it's his, but we're co-laboring. And like, it's just crazy, your perspective. Because some people hold on to their platforms, right? Hold on to their positions. Exactly. But you were letting yours go freely. Like,
yeah, I always say that I'm the co-creator of the platform.
Co-creator.
God is the creator. Love that. And that's the bottom line. And, and you can serve also on a mission field from your social media platforms. Anyone can.
Yeah.
And you're making a difference. It's not about how many followers you have or how many likes you have.
True.
Someone is seeing what you have written, and someone is hearing what you have to say. Mm-mm. And you just have no idea how God can use you on a digital aspect also to be a blessing. So you could be on the mission field in your day-to-day life, and you could also be on the mission field right in the kitchen on Instagram or on Facebook or on whatever platform sharing the hope of Jesus.
So
it's
amazing.
That simple. Because, you know, some people don't crack open their Bible. Some people don't make it to watch a service or come to a church service or whatever.
Yeah. You are their Bible.
Yeah, you are their Bible. So you posting a simple Bible verse is an act of missions.
Wow.
You posting an encouraging sentence. It don't even have to be a paragraph, a sentence saying just hold on. God is with you.
Yes.
So anything can bless somebody. And again, you don't have to see the results. Someone saw it.
Someone
doesn't have to comment on it. Someone doesn't have to like it and all this other stuff. Someone is seeing what you have to say, and you can make a difference in this world.
I hope you guys hear that. I hope you hear that. Not only hear that, but you take it to your heart and walk out everything that Marcus is speaking into you. Just one last big thing I want to talk about, Marcus, is social media and how you got started. Like, if we fast forward to now, there's millions and millions of people being impacted across every single one of your platforms. I wanted you to, one, speak into how you got started, what sort of propelled you into this amazing season of life, but also encouraging those who may be listening, what are some practical things that they can do just to get started?
Yeah, what I got started with is I just started writing devotionals, and I just started sharing scriptures online. And again, we sometimes think that because people have access to these resources, that means that they're actually going to use the Bible app or use this or that, and that's not true. Some people have so much going on in their life that they don't take the initiative to do that, and that's why you can be a missionary right where you're at.
On your couch.
All you have to do is write down something, write down how you're feeling, something that would encourage somebody. And the number one thing is you're encouraging yourself.
Yeah.
As you're speaking.
Wow.
I started just writing my thoughts and writing things that the Lord was giving me. And I just started organizing those things, and then I started posting those every day.
Wow.
And I just stayed consistent with it. No matter what, I would write something or a little devotional. I actually started emailing, and a devotional that went out to people every day. It was just scriptures and a little encouraging paragraph. That's it. And I'm not a writer. I'm not a poet. I'm not having any formal training or all these other things. So God can use anyone.
You were faithful.
I was available and faithful and willing to be consistent no matter how I felt.
Come on.
And you got to realize that when you step outside of yourself, God can use you for an even greater purpose.
Mm.
And He can use you to create something that's greater than you. Just greater than you. It's massive to be able to bless other people. And it all starts with you making a decision.
Yes.
Yeah.
So true. So good. I remember I was listening, was it Craig or someone? Actually, I seen it on the wall. That's where it was.
Yeah.
It said, we will never insult God by playing it safe.
Yep. Yeah,
my plan is safe. And that was so true. It rang hard for me.
That's the truth. And we got to remember, we go hard for all the things that the world has to give us. But yeah, we'll go hard for so many things but God.
But God.
And we have to be willing to say, I want to go hard for God. That is the reason, that's the whole reason I found my freedom.
Yeah.
A year sounds crazy to say I'm going to go hard for God and I'm going to go into a program for a year. But when you just want to relentlessly pursue God and you want to be free and walk in your deliverance, and you're willing to do whatever it takes. And we need to have that same attitude when it comes that we have with the world. We need to have that same attitude that we have with the things of the world, with the things of God.
Come on.
Willing to go the extra mile, not just the little hour that we're in church on Sunday.
We
have to feed our spirit every day.
True.
The same way that our cell phones are dying constantly, that's the same way we got to plug in every day to keep ourselves filled.
It's good.
You can't go all day or all week with one charge on your phone, can you?
Yeah.
No, you're finding power all day long. You're plugging it up in the car.
Boy.
You're plugging up here. And that's what we have to do with our spirit. We have to listen. We have to fill our spirit with worship, fill our spirit
with the word.
With the word, all types of things. We can't just operate off of
one little scripture off our little timeline.
Your pastor cannot keep you filled all week.
Wow.
You have to read your Bible daily.
Be active.
Yes.
Proactive.
Yes.
So Marcus, I was going to touch on this real quick. I know we're about to land the plane, but before we land the plane, let's end with a strong bang in the foundation of the family, the foundation of the home. There may be someone listening right now who's a dad or a mom, and they're not grasping the importance of having everything on one accord at home. You know, they have their, you know, we're millennials, bro. Like, we have this pursuit, you know, the sky is the limit type idea. Or we're always trying to know more of who we are, but we try to do before we become. So will you bring it back to the root? Like, why is it so important to focus on family first before you run out into the world?
It's important because our family is supposed to be our first ministry. Bottom line, our family is supposed to be first. You know, every time I get on a plane, speaking of planes, you hear it on announcements.
Yeah,
they tell you if the plane, the oxygen mask come out, then you need to put on yours first before you put it on your children.
That's good. And
that's the same with our lives and how we live for the things of God. We have to take care of our family first. We have to, because that is how the whole foundation is set for everything that we do, and that is how we are effective in what we do. You know, so it's one thing to, you can have a heart for the world and a heart to impact people, but your first ministry is right under your house. Yeah, right there where you're at. It's right at home. And even if you don't live in a home, even if you, let's say you live with someone else, or you live, let's say you live with relatives or anything, the same thing applies.
Yeah.
That those that you love, those that are right connected to you are priority.
Come on.
That is your number one ministry. Yeah.
And I think one of the greatest things is I actually get to see you live it out and be an example. And I feel a lot like the scripture says, I believe it's, I forgot what book it is exactly, but it talks about us, you know, following the example as others live, specifically Timothy following the example of Paul and people seeing that. Yep. I think that's why I tell you all the time, you like Paul to me and I'm Timothy to you, because I've learned so much in the context of family from you being the man of God. You know, so I really appreciate
I've
you.
I've only learned
that,
from my mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
So I've learned every day. I ask God, how can I be a better father, a better husband to my wife, April, you know, a better son, better brother. I ask myself, how can I be that every day?
Teachable.
Yeah, to always remain teachable, realizing that you don't know it all.
Yeah.
You know, but God does.
God does.
And if you trust in him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, he'll acknowledge and he'll direct your path.
Yes,
and that's the bottom line. See, the word is something that we can always depend on. If you notice, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't respond to the devil's attacks by how he felt. He responded with the word of God. So it is important that's why it's so important to keep ourselves filled with the word of God, because there's no way possible that we will be able to stand against the enemy's attacks if we don't have the word.
Without the sword.
It's one thing to have your Bible, but the word is supposed to be in you. You know, living and active. That way, when something happens, I'm scared. I'm thinking about to be defeated. Oh, no, I know what Isaiah 54:17 says. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You're able to go straight to the word for your answer, not by, I hope or I think or I feel, because our flesh is not going to be enough to go against the attacks of the enemy.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. And guys, you heard it from him himself, Marcus Stanley, my brother from another mother, but the same Heavenly Father, yes, your brother yes, too, yes. If you're in the Lord. If you haven't received Christ, I'm telling you to run to him with all your heart. I'm telling you, it will never, never, never be something you regret. We love you guys. And Marcus, anywhere, where can they be finding you on social media, like to follow the ministry, follow you and your life, your example?
Yeah, I'm just search Marcus Stanley. And okay. That's what we're focusing. But the focus is not on me.
That's it.
There's many different ministries that are operating and changing lives every day. Get through the week, get through today.
Come on now.
Without Walls Ministries, with yourself, and many different things that are greater than ourselves.
True.
Yes.
You guys will be hearing from Marcus a lot more, a lot more. So get used to that voice. So God bless you guys, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you.
Love you,
thanks
bro.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.